Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Well, hello there, fellow Culturati. Javon Harley here, your host and travel pro on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. The website is travelingculturati.com. Go ahead and check it out. See what we're up to. Actually, it's brand new, so I want you to tell me what you think about it. Today, Morel Howard is here with Brian Post Travel Tips for getting the most out of your next hotel stay and making it more comfortable. We've also got Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. But right now, I've got some travel news. Well, Southwest Airlines is heading to Havana, Cuba, pending finalized authority from the U.S. Department of Transportation and subject to requisite approvals from the Cuban government. Southwest confirms it will begin its Cuba service later this year to Havana, along with previously awarded service to Varadero and Santa Clara. The carrier will have a total of 5 daily departures from Fort Lauderdale to Cuba, plus 1 daily departure from Tampa to Havana. Southwest Airlines Chairman, President, and CEO says that they are enthusiastic about their service to Cuba, and their nonstop flights from 2 Florida cities will provide high-quality, low-fare service to customers. Southwest will soon publish its low fares and flight schedules for Cuba service and intends to begin operations to Cuba later this year. I, for one, am very excited about Southwest Airlines offering low-fare service to Cuba. And Southwest Airlines isn't the only one. 8 U.S. airlines have tentatively been awarded flights to Havana, giving 10 U.S. airports at least one weekly nonstop flight to Havana. Flights have already been approved and awarded to other Cuban cities last month. American Airlines received the most overall number of daily flights to Havana. JetBlue and Delta won the least overall daily flights, but will have the most flights to Havana from more U.S. cities. There's actually a pretty good balance of flights between low-cost carriers and legacy carriers. The carriers that have been awarded flights to Cuba are Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, Delta Airlines, Frontier Airlines, JetBlue, Southwest Airlines, Spirit Airlines, and United Airlines. Yay, Cuba! Flight service to Cuba. I am so excited about that. Will this new TSA checkpoint test cut wait times at American hubs? Well, American Airlines is teaming up with the Transportation Security Administration with a test program to help alleviate long wait times at airport security checkpoints at American hubs. The joint initiative will bring automated screening lanes along with other changes to Chicago O'Hare, Dallas-Fort Worth, Los Angeles, and Miami. The TSA and American Airlines expect the modifications will shorten security screening time by up to 30%. Hopefully, this reduction in time spent will avoid a repeat of previous issues with tens of thousands of passengers missing flights during peak periods because of excessively long security wait times at some airports. American's chief operating officer says, in partnership with TSA, American is spending nearly $5 million to launch an innovative initiative that will bring state-of-the-art screening technology to several of our hubs. This is in addition to the $21 million we are already spending on non-security functions at our largest airports, which enable TSA officers to focus solely on the screening aspects of their job. Passengers can expect to see automated belts that draw bags into the X-ray machines, returning the bins back to the line after completion of the screening. Bags with a potential threat can be directed to a separate area without disrupting those without. There'll be larger bins, which means fewer bins. Unique RFID tags that are attached to each bin to allow for additional accountability of items as they transit through the system. Cameras that capture photos of the outside of the bag that's linked to the X-ray image of the bag's contents. And these changes and others are expected to be rolled out in stages by the fall, so it's still necessary to arrive to the airport early to give yourself time and to reduce stress. But these are some much needed changes, and automation with TSA security lanes, fantastic. Some more news with TSA. They're taking to Facebook Messenger to answer flyers' questions. And are you about to fly and need to ask TSA a question about airport security? Well, you can now ask TSA questions about anything from current wait times to what you can take and get an answer directly through Facebook's Messenger. TSA began taking questions and feedback via Facebook on July 7th. This makes them the first federal agency to use Facebook for customer service. TSA made the move to give flyers more ways to interact with the agency. And last year, it launched @AskTSA on Twitter. With the launch of @AskTSA Twitter this past September, the agency has received about 40,000 inquiries from travelers using the platform. TSA spokeswoman Jennifer Plouze says, with Facebook Messenger, we really want to be able to reach a larger audience. TSA hopes its new Facebook Messenger options will give flyers a comfortable way to interact with the agency for real-time assistance. One popular theme to emerge on Twitter has been troubleshooting glitches that have kept eligible flyers out of TSA's pre-check security lanes. Often, the @AskTSA team is able to resolve the issue. Flyers are also sharing images on social media that can help with things like lost and found from TSA. So this is a great move, and it's bringing customer service to your fingertips. So whether you're on Facebook or Twitter, just look for @AskTSA. Norwegian Cruise Lines is banning carry-on water and sodas. Beginning July 15th, Norwegian Cruise Line passengers may no longer bring any beverages on board. NCL claims the no-beverage policy will help speed up the boarding process. According to a statement by Norwegian Cruise Line, guests are prohibited from bringing liquor, beer, and non-alcoholic drinks, including water, soda, and juices, on board as either carry-on or checked luggage. Exceptions will be made for factory-sealed containers for purified or distilled water used with and for medical devices, like CPAPs, or for the reconstitution of infant formula. There is, however, another exception: wine. Unopened sealed wine bottles for personal consumption are permitted, subject to a corkage fee, of course. Now, the new beverage policy also applies to beverages purchased at any ports of call. Unfinished beverages purchased locally will need to be consumed or disposed of prior to boarding, and unopened bottles can be stored by the ship and returned to you on the final day of debarkation. Well, there's a new travel warning out there, but it's not from the United States. And it's not about a particular destination. The government of the United Arab Emirates has issued a travel warning to its citizens about what not to wear. This warning comes after Ahmed Al-Manali, a UAE national, was mistaken for a terrorist after speaking Arabic on the phone at an Ohio hotel. Hamed Al-Manali was in Cleveland for medical care following a stroke he suffered several months earlier. He was outside the Fairfield Inn and Suites in Avon, Ohio, speaking in Arabic over the phone, reportedly trying to find a place to stay. And according to the New York Times, relatives of an employee working the front desk called 911 and reported that the hotel clerk had seen a man in full headdress who was on the phone pledging his allegiance or something to ISIS. Officers from the Avon Police Department arrived and escorted Mr. Manali outside the hotel with their weapons drawn, tackled him to the ground, handcuffed him, and searched him. Realizing that Manali was not a terrorist, he was allowed to stand, but quickly fell to the ground, reportedly suffering a light stroke. He was taken to a nearby medical center and has since been released. Avon's mayor and police chief both personally apologized to Mr. Manali at the Cleveland office of the Council on American Islamic Relations, after which Mayor Brian Jensen released a statement that said that based on the information given to the police, officers had responded with the correct protocol. The council Council on American Islamic Relations in Cleveland is calling for more education, stating that the only behavior that was unusual was the clerks, not Ahmed's. The UAE's government has since warned its citizens against wearing the traditional white robe and headdress while traveling in order to ensure their safety, as Muslims abroad are increasingly afraid of growing Islamophobia. Well, Rome's Colosseum gets a makeover courtesy of Tod's. Rome's Colosseum, the 2,000-year-old stadium that once sat 80,000 spectators, is finally having major work done. And the luxury leather goods company Tod's is sponsoring it. The world's largest amphitheater is undergoing phase two of three extensive renovation programs. The monument is in much need of attention and repair from pollution from vehicular traffic, support rods made of bronze and iron that were inserted in the 50s and 60s, and of course, the natural wear and tear from millions of tourists. 44,000 square feet of ancient concrete on the northern and southern facades of the Colosseum have been scrubbed since work began in 2013. The next phase will restore passageways and underground vaults with cleaning and repair of 33,000 square feet of travertine and installing new iron gates and frames. I might just have to visit the Colosseum again to see the details that were hidden under pollution, like those carvings, paintings, and entryways. According to the latest annual survey by Travel and Leisure magazine, Miami, not New York City, is America's rudest city. New York City has actually dropped to number three on the list. Los Angeles was voted fourth rudest city, and Philadelphia came in fifth. The magazine's America Favorite Places survey asked visitors to judge 38 U.S. cities on safety, style, walkability, eating and drinking, and cultural attractions. More than 50,000 voted. The survey also revealed which cities were the friendliest. San Antonio and Austin in Texas were ranked as America's top two friendliest cities, with Madison and Wisconsin coming in third. Well, who are the 10 rudest cities, according to the readers of Travel and Leisure magazine? Miami, Phoenix, New York City, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Salt Lake City, Dallas, Boston, Colorado Springs, and Ann Arbor round out the top 10. Well, that's it for travel news. And when we come back, we're going to have Javon's Travel Minute, Morel Howard with pre and post travel tips for your hotel stay, and the question of the week. So don't go anywhere. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. Well, welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati, the style and culture of travel. Just make sure you go on over and visit the website, travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
Traveling alone can be a very liberating experience, and while it has many benefits, it can also attract predators. To stay safe, there are some lies you should tell and tips you should know, especially if you're a woman traveling alone. Don't divulge that you are traveling alone. Always have a tale to tell about a friend, a husband, or group that you're meeting up with later. Have your transportation booked in advance. This is not the time to trust an unlicensed driver. And try to arrive before the sun sets. It's just easier to navigate during the day and, as the song states, the freaks come out at night. Know the customs so that you don't call extra attention to yourself. And even at the hotel, upon checking in, say you're expecting a guest or a friend. And finally, you may feel comfortable trusting another woman, especially if she says she too is traveling alone, but beware. Sometimes they are used as or part of a bigger plan to lure you. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. And today, Morel Howard is back in the house.
Hello, hello.
We're talking about hotel travel tips, pre and post hotel travel tips. Welcome back, Morel.
Hi, thank you for having me again. How are you?
I am great, thank you. It's been a while.
I know, a long time no see. I love being here.
And we love having you here. So let's get into it. So we're talking about hotel stays.
Mm-hmm.
What's the basic overview of what we're talking about pre and post with your hotel stay?
Okay, hotel travel tips. A home away from home, from dedicated check-in desks to fruit-infused water and warm toiletries, from access to the club, plush bathrobes and slippers are just a few of the hotel perks we all wish we could have when we're booking a hotel room, whether it be for work or play. But if you are on a leisure budget or if you have a company travel policy, all of these amenities are way out of reach. So I have a few tips of the trade that can enhance your trip that you can do prior to your hotel stay, prior to you arriving to your hotel.
What are some of the things you need to do before your hotel stay?
One of the first things is that I call don't be a stranger, stay in touch. What I mean by this is the normal sign up for hotel rewards, just similar to the airlines. So the hotels, whether it be a Fairmont or Hilton or Hyatt, they always have their rewards programs. So you want to sign up for that so that you can instantly begin to get perks and points when you check into their hotel. Also, visit their websites and their social media pages to see if they have any special giveaways or contests, promotions during their stay. And it's also, a lot of the times, it is also good that you can actually go onto their website directly to sign up for your rewards points, but also to make your reservation, because a lot of the times they may have an online promotion that you couldn't get if you were to go through a third-party booking engine, i.e. hotels.com.
Yeah, and talking about social media, they're running a lot of promotions mm-hmm. through social media mm-hmm. these days. That I know.
Perfect. They sure are. And another thing is, too, that you, speaking about social media, you want to introduce yourself on their social media pages. So you want to, even on your personal hotel, on your personal media pages like Facebook and Twitter especially, you want to mention the hotel and let them know that you're coming. You can do their hashtag or their handle, like if you're on Twitter, hashtag Hyatt Place or hashtag Fairmont, that type of thing. They'll pick that up and they can see that you're coming. You don't want to put out too much information about your personal trip, but a lot of the times their personal, their social media could be considered like a concierge. So if you go, hey, I'm just asking what to do. I'm going to be in the Cleveland area. I'm staying at the Hilton. What to do? They actually have a department that will focus on social media and their social media outlets, and they'll pick that up, they'll run your name, and they'll contact you directly a lot of the time.
Yeah, but it's very important to know, you just can't mention their name mm-hmm. because they don't know that you've mentioned their name unless you tag them.
Mm-hmm.
So do the @ and the hotel,
exactly.
And you may need to like their page if it's on Facebook mm-hmm. in order for you to do that. Or, as Morel said, use that hashtag. That's the only way they know. So
mm-hmm.
just putting their name in there is not going to give you
Correct.
What you need.
Correct.
What about cards?
Cards. Two things. With your rewards cards, if you stockpile your hotel points, now's the time to use them. What are you saving them up for? Use them now, whether it's for leisure or whether it's for play. Also, you can also use and choose the right travel rewards credit card. That's key. Again, similar to you can have a Hilton rewards credit card, and you can go ahead and for every $5 that you book that you use for your Hilton reservation, you'll get a dollar back, and then you can begin to add perks to that and add points, and then in turn you can go ahead and use those points for your reservation, whether it be for the amenities for the club, for the club level, for an upgrade to a room or a suite, or free Wi-Fi if they don't have it, or breakfast in the morning. You can use those for any of the amenities or accommodations that they actually have at that particular hotel.
So the credit card is tied to the membership or the rewards program
Correct.
For that hotel.
Correct. And also tipping you in the right direction to make sure that you're maximizing your benefits. There are two online applications that you can go to. One is called Nerd Wallet, and the other one is called Card Hub. You can go there, key in where you're going, the hotel, the travel dates, and the cards that you're wanting to use, and your rewards points. It can do a comparative analysis, a comprehensive comparative analysis, and let you know which is the best deal for you.
Here's one of the things that is very important to me, and that is tipping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't realize what they should be tipping, who they should be tipping, and when they should be tipping.
Yes, yes, that is true. Tip like a pro. We are different from down in the Caribbean where everything is all inclusive. You, prior to going or even when you're checking in, you want to make sure that you change your large bills for smaller denominations, either at, like I said, either at the front desk or prior to you going. My major tipping you in the right direction, when you're in the hotel and you have your housekeeping or your maids, typically it is good to tip $2 to $3 up to $5 per night. Not per person, but per night. And you want to leave this along with a little note either on the pillow or on the desk, someplace that you know that the housekeeping will actually be able to find it and see it. Another thing, too, as well, if you're staying in a suite or if there's more than three people in the room, you want to tip a little bit more based on that same dollar amount.
The per day is very important. Mm-hmm. I know some people think, well, I'll just leave one big tip at the end of my stay. Mm-hmm. Well, you may be getting a different housekeeper mm-hmm. on your last day, and guess what? She hits he hits the jackpot.
Exactly.
And they're not always going to share.
Exactly.
Somebody
exactly.
was there ahead of time. So yeah, get those smaller denominations and leave it every morning or every day before mm-hmm. you leave out, but make sure they know it's for them
exactly.
because otherwise they won't take it because they don't want to be accused of stealing.
Exactly. You want to put a note to housekeeping or mm-hmm. may want to be very delicate with that wording that you put on there.
Yeah.
Another thing too, as well, as far as the bellmen are concerned, I typically tip $1 per piece of luggage. So per your big check luggage and your carry on, typically you can do just to maybe about one or two when it comes to the bellmen. Make sure you have that in hand when they're pulling the luggage out and they're taking it up to your room. As far as taxi cabs and taxi drivers are concerned, I normally just give a $5 overall. They help me put my luggage in, help me put my luggage out. Even if the bellman is there when I get to the hotel, I just normally give them $3 to $5, and then I do the same for the bellman.
Right.
Now, when it comes to valet and parking, you want to typically tip about $1 to $5. Per time, every time your car is delivered to you. So, you know, you don't really want to do the $1. You want to do it, maybe we can move that up to about $2/$3 to $5 every time you call down for your car. Because remember, they have to go all the way to the parking lot, get your car, bring it back, and have it ready and waiting for you
right.
when you're down there.
All right. So just be mindful on your pre-checklist to get small bills. And as you're going, you may need to replenish those, mm-hmm. but don't forget to have those so that you can tip along the way. Now, what can you do in advance to get room upgrades?
This is a great thing. In advance, something as simple as when you're actually checking in, just be nice. Honestly, a smile goes an absolute long way. Just be nice and just smile and grin. Have basic conversation. Don't make it seem like it's rushed or that you're actually going for the jugular to get something in the end, but just be normal and nice. And who knows, they may upgrade you. Another thing too, in addition to that, is checking in later. Typically the normal check-in time is at 3 p.m., but sometimes you may have a later flight. But if you normally check in after 3, maybe about 5 or 6, if you do that, make sure that the hotel knows that you're checking in a little bit later so that they won't cancel your reservation. But this gives the hotel manager enough time to do inventory of the rooms that they have for the actual day. And they're more prone to give you a complimentary spontaneous upgrade if you check in about 5 or 6 versus 3 because they know what they're already dealing with.
Right. And it could be that they are out of the room category that you booked
mm-hmm.
and so they just automatically upgrade you.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Now, here's my thing is I drink water like, I don't know what the example is, but I'm always at the watering hole somewhere. Yes. So how do you plan for that?
That's very easy and simple. Bring your own water bottle, whether it's a recyclable, reusable, or one of those collapsible ones that shrinks when it like is paper thin and then you just fill it up. So you want to make sure that you bring your own water bottle, and that's very useful. The reason being is because hotel bottles of water at the hotel, they retail in between $4 and $8 per bottle. And if you're in your hotel room, the hotel bar and little basket that you have in your hotel room, those can run up to $10 per bottle for 12 ounce. So if you have your own regular reusable, recyclable water bottle, you can fill it up in the not necessarily in your room and in the bathroom, but downstairs in the business center. A lot of the times they have filtered water spouts all over, even in the restaurant. You can go ahead and fill your water up there. That water is filtered. You can go ahead and fill it up there, and then just keep going just use that for the rest of the day for you. And it's free.
Here's another thing that I really want to talk about, and that is getting your room ready. Mm-hmm. Before you settle in, what are some of those things you can do to prepare your room?
I like to do what it's called make yourself at home, a home away from home. One of the first things that I do when I get into the room, I'm a little bit compulsive with it. I instantly take the blanket or the duvet off, and I put it in the corner. The reason why that I do that is because even though they change the bed linen on the beds, a lot of the times they don't change the blanket or the bedspread. They may wash it once a week or maybe once a month, so you want to get rid of that instantly.
Most hotels, it's once a month. I snagged a cleaning list one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That bedspread is only done once a month.
You want to get rid of that instantly. Yeah. Just shove it in the corner behind. You want to get rid of that instantly. Another thing that I do is you can buy little anti Clorox wipes with you at travel sizes. I take that and I wipe down everything. I wipe down the light switches, the lamp switches, the doorknobs, the toilet flush, the faucet, the desk, the remote control. I wipe down all the surface desks because even though those sometimes are clean, they may just do a once real quick wipe over with the wet rag. Who knows if it's just warm water or not? You want to make sure you disinfect the surfaces that you touch normally all the time.
Yeah, if you touch it, telephone, remote,
yes,
those
telephone.
Things that you touch often, those are the things, and they don't really clean those, mm-hmm. or they use that same cloth from room to room mm-hmm. to room to mm-hmm. clean it. It's not really a disinfectant. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you definitely want to
definitely.
Do that.
That is my main tip in you in the right direction. If you don't do anything else, do that, please. Do that, please.
Yeah. I always hear people say, oh, I get back to my hotel room, and I'm going to take a nice, long, hot bath. I tend not to get in the tubs in hotels. So what if you're like me and you really want to use that tub?
You can do the same thing. You can just do a basic wipe down. Or one of the things that you do, you can just fill the tub up full of water, hot water. Just fill it up. Hot water, works for everything. And just let it sit there. Let's just let the water soak and sit and then just drain the water. That'll just give you a sense of relief that something is a little bit clean because it had hot water in it and it's a little steamy, right. That kind of thing. If you're really wanting to, if you don't have the materials to wipe down everything and your antibacterial wipes, that type of thing, you just may want to just fill it up with hot water, let it sit for a little bit, and then just drain it. And then just hop on in with your bath salts and things of that nature. Hot water kills germs, so you'll be fine.
Yeah.
In that case, you'll be fine.
I take one of the extra towels and put it in the bottom. And the maid is probably like, why is this towel soaking? Yeah, I put that in the bottom of the tub. Thank you very much.
Now, I do that. That's another thing. You do not walk around barefoot when you're in your hotel room, even though it's carpet, because they just vacuum it. All those little sneezes and little dust mites and things like that are already stuck in the carpet. So you want to make sure you either walk around in shower shoes, flip-flops, or socks. Because anytime you sneeze or you drop something, those little particles get into the carpet, and what somebody else is trying to get rid of, you're going to pick it up and put it in your bed when you go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
So you put the towel in the bathtub. I put a towel down right in front of the bed where I get off, kind of like my floor mat, because I like to walk barefoot, and then I slip on my flip-flops. So just make sure, you know, I'm not saying there you're going to catch cooties, but you just want to be mindful
of
that.
But you're going to catch cooties.
You want to be
that's
mindful
what it
of
is.
That. Yes,
so if
you
it's
know.
Not a hotel that's going to provide you with slippers, mm-hmm. then you want to make sure that you bring flip-flops. I have traveling flip-flops. Mm-hmm. Or I have those fold-a-flats that mm-hmm. I use, and they pack mm-hmm. very easily.
Yes.
So what about some of our post tips after our hotel stay?
This is the fun part. This is really great. It's something as simple as just saying thank you, you know, once you're done. As far as tipping the housekeeper and the maid, you just want to put a little thank you note like you do with your tips and put the tip on there. Just said thank you. Thank you for the extra towels. Thank you. I love the way that you made my room. I love the little mint. Thank you for the extra this, this, and that, that type of thing. When you're checking out at the front desk, thank them for all of their professionalism and their hospitality. If the concierge helped you out with anything, slip them a little note saying thank you with a little mint, that type of thing. You just want to make sure you say thank you to everyone. In addition to that, a lot of the times when you're checking out, they may have a survey if you check out on the television or downstairs, or they may send you a survey. Make sure you fill out the survey so they'll know how you're – they're not going to know if something was broken unless you tell them. You want to let them know that how great your experience was, if it was a great experience. If it wasn't so great, you want to let them know that too.
Well, a lot of hotels have – programs for their employees. So it's very important to compliment those employees mm-hmm. that either went above and beyond or did a fantastic mm-hmm. job. So those things go a long way. I didn't realize how much that did until one time I made a comment and the person actually contacted me and said, thank you. I was still staying at the hotel, but they said that their management had already come to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to thank me for praising them.
Good.
But I also wanted to ask you, what do you do about tipping for turndown service? Do you tip there as well?
For turndown service, that's a part of the maid service at a housekeeping. So I'm going to say yes. So for the turndown service, because typically if someone comes in the middle of the day and you ask for turndown service, maybe checking in at 3:00, a lot of times that's when they begin to clean the room. Typically, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be that same group of people that are doing that. So as far as turndown service, you want to make sure that you still leave that for the turndown service too as well. And you can leave that prior to you leaving out in the morning saying, please turn down service and thank you. And you can leave a little something or a little note or a little something as far as the thank you is concerned prior to you leaving your room. So when you come back in, what you asked for is already there and you've already paid for that service, because the next morning it may be a different shift of people that come in.
You're at the hotel, you're checked out, and you're filling out your surveys. Mm-hmm. What about beyond that? Anything else you should be doing?
Yes, let's review. On that, you can go to their website. A lot of the times they'll have where you can leave comments. You can leave little comments about your stay. Again, social media is concerned. You can go ahead and go to their specific website, and you can say how great my stay was, how awesome my stay was, and please recommend this person. That person was great. This host at the concierge was awesome. You can do it on your Twitter feed with their handle / their hashtag. Go to their Facebook page. You can definitely do it there. Yelp is awesome. Yelp and TripAdvisor. Mm-hmm. Those online surveys too as well, where you can take your photos of your room and you can post it there. Those go a very, very long way, because I know whenever I'm doing research and I'm looking for a hotel, even if I get word of mouth recommendations, I'm instantly going to TripAdvisor. And I'm going there. You got to take TripAdvisor with a grain of salt, because you're more prone to hear about negative things than you are positive things. But nonetheless, you're going to get really good information there. So I always go there. So make sure you go there. You can rate them, you can rank them, and make sure that you give them the good service if you got good service, make sure you say you got good service.
That's another thing with social media. Just like you can find discounts
mm-hmm.
and promotions and coupons
mm-hmm.
and coupon codes and yeah, just as you can find those before your trip,
mm-hmm.
After your trip, they can also get you some rewards.
Absolutely.
Or upgrades or invitations for
mm-hmm.
your next trip if you're making those comments. But again, make sure you tag them properly.
Exactly. Hashtag
just mentioning the name is not going to do
exactly.
it. And in that TripAdvisor review, you can use a hashtag
mm-hmm.
there as well,
mm-hmm.
because that's how they find things.
Mm-hmm.
When they go online and they Google to see what people are saying,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they will go directly to TripAdvisor, or they just may go to a search engine
mm-hmm.
and put in the hashtag
exactly.
and see if their name is mentioned.
Exactly.
So you want to make sure that you do those
you
things.
Tell me that. So absolutely, that works wonders. I love a hashtag. I'm like, hashtag, pre and post travel tips, hashtag, travel, couple, hashtag. You taught me that. So I love that hashtag. So please make sure you do that and you hashtag correctly.
Absolutely. Well, Morel, thank you so much for joining me
You're
today.
Welcome.
And
it's
as
been
always,
fun.
Some great pre and post travel tips.
Remember that episode on Friends when Ross gave us his practice of what is rightfully yours to take from your hotel room? While Ross's idea of this practice was way over the top, we all feel entitled to take something. I, for one, take toiletries and slippers. Mo, let's find out what items guests like to take from hotels. This should be fun.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go, and I have
Lenora.
So Lenora, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
do you travel much?
Not that often, maybe every 2 years.
Okay, so when you travel, do you stay in hotels?
Yes.
What do you take from the hotel?
When I went to Mexico in summer 2010, I took the shampoo and the soap.
Was it a reason you decided to take the shampoo and the soap? Is it like better quality?
I wouldn't say it's better quality, but it's definitely because I wanted a memory of how Mexico smells.
Well, okay. I see why you would do something like that. All right. Thank you. Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who do I have here with me today?
Hi, my name is Tiffany.
Tiffany, when you travel, do you stay in hotels?
Love the hotels, girl.
Oh, you love the hotels. Okay, well, when you stay there, do you happen to take anything?
I'm not going to get in trouble for this, am I?
Absolutely not.
I love the towels.
Say it again. You love the what, girl?
The towels, girl. I love the towels.
You love the towels, so you be ripping the hotel off of their towels, girl? Okay, that's right. That was a little harsh, but you take the towels home with you.
Girl, I have to take the towels.
I probably need to start taking towels.
You get the little mat that goes in front of the tub, and then you get the big towel, the, you know, the one that covers everything.
Uh-huh.
Then you get the little face towel and the medium towel. Yeah, girl, when you get through it, then you have a set for everybody now.
You got sets for everybody in the house? That's how many towels you take?
Yeah, girl, you know, you can set it up.
I think I may have to set it up and get me some towels, girl.
Yeah, get you some towels, girl. You ain't got to pick no hands.
I guess everyone takes something from the hotel, whether it's for memories or just to stock your towel closet. Back to you, Javon.
Thank you, Mo. Well, I see I'm not alone. Some hotel items are rightfully yours for the taking. However, some will put you in the category of stealing. Toiletries like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, toothbrush, etc. are all for the taking. Items you consume are okay as well, like coffee, tea, and condiments. But the appliances are a no-no. Slippers, on the other hand, are on the take-it list, but the robe is usually not. Stationery is also on the take-it list, but not the Bible. However, a study by laterooms.com found that 34,000 Bibles are taken from hotels by British travelers every year. What are some of the most unusual items taken from hotels? According to Travel Lodge, some guests have tried to smuggle its king-size dreamer beds out of its hotels. A $300,000 Andy Warhol print from the W Hong Kong, a grand piano from a Starwood Hotel, a suit of armor from a Best Western, a marble fireplace from the Four Seasons Beverly Hills, a mini fridge and sofa from a five-star hotel in Dubai, and an entire dinnerware set from the Franklin Hotel. Now, I don't know if these were supposed to be taken by the guests or for use during your stay, but adult toys from the residence in Bath? I hope those were for each guest to take. Well, Ross had nothing on those guys. And to sum it up, if it's provided complimentary for your daily use and it's not furniture, appliances, or hardware, it's yours for the taking. Well, maybe some of them. Now you're in the know about what to take from hotels. And just know you're not alone. When we come back, we've got the Culture Report. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Javon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coasts, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane.